He's back. Mitchell Fain, he's landed right here in Chicago. He's back from his South American tour and his trip up the East Coast and months away. And we're just catching up with Mitchell about the ship and all the places he visited. How gay was it? And what did he think when all of the big news of the past couple of months came crashing down on the boat? And what was it like in other countries? The name's Farah, the name's Michael. What did those elicit in the various places in which he was traveling? And also Hump Day. It's a show a lot of people are talking about. Can two straight guys make a porno together? Richard Knight Jr. has the review. Plus, we've got so much news. I'm so glad to have Mitchell back.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
I've been hearing what some people have to say. How we can feel this way, living what we share. Well, they say it shouldn't be.
Well, it's obvious.
They can't see when I hurt.
I feel a change in the air. Everyone will see that love knows no boundaries, be it you or me.
It doesn't matter what they say.
Too high, no river too deep, no mountain we can't climb. I'm gonna love you, love you.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 317. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
He's back.
I am back, but only for less than a month.
Less than a month?
Yeah.
Stop the madness.
I know, but I have to work.
Yeah. How was your extravaganza? You're finally back from the boat.
It was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. It's an awesome, awesome gig. But Bermuda, gay people, let's talk about Bermuda for a second. It's a gorgeous island, but why gay people would go there, I don't know.
Really, why?
Oh, Amy, it's really like, it's like repressed. Everybody's on the quote DL, end quote, right? There's just no, there's like basically no.
So you're having like dirty sex in back corners and alleys.
Well, I wouldn't push it that way. Maybe on a beach or two. I did meet this really nice guy, but he's so messed up by that culture of repression that he whispers when we're in public, just in case anybody might overhear a conversation and think maybe that he might be gay. And he doesn't even sure if he's like, I don't know what I want. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what you want? You don't know who you are? You don't know what you want? He's like, I don't know what I want. I'm like, okay, dude, you're gay. Get off this fucking rock because it's a nightmare.
What are the laws there?
There are no laws. I mean, it's been decriminalized, but it's just a really bad place to be gay. I mean, there are no gay bars. There are no gay beaches. It's just a repressed culture. You can't even walk around with your shirt off. The cops will stop you.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, boys can't walk around like it's a freaking, the whole thing's a beach and you can't walk around with no shirt on. It was just really interesting. There are beautiful beaches, some really good restaurants. I met some interesting people. The locals don't really care for tourists.
Huh, why?
They just see them as outsiders. They're not really interested in the tourist trade, or, which is why, interestingly enough, they hire foreigners to work all summer at the different resorts. It's not Bermudians who are working there.
Is that what you call them, Bermudians?
Yeah, Bermudians.
So you didn't meet any gay Bermudians who knew they were gay?
I mean, they knew they were gay, but they didn't. They weren't out. I mean, I only met a couple because how do you meet them if there's no place to congregate? I happened to meet this one guy. His name is Justin. at a cafe. Just, I was sitting getting free wireless at a cafe, and we started chatting. He's gorgeous. He looks like The Rock. He was like this really big, beautiful boy, and he had braids. And we just started chatting, and then I actually didn't even think that he was gay.
He could crush you, is what you're saying?
Yeah, no, he's much bigger than me.
Yeah.
And much younger, which is, you know, what I like. And
legal, but young.
No, I mean, he was 30, which is still much younger than me. Yeah, and then we ran into each other again like a week later at this place right near the ship, right where the ship docks, and he was having something to eat and I was getting a drink. And it was like, oh, hi. And then I could tell he was being flirty. So then the cool thing was he had a motorcycle, right, like everybody on that island. So he drove me around the island and took me to these really cool places that, like, tourists wouldn't necessarily see, like just really out-of-the-way little spots where you can sort of watch the, you know, ocean and just beautiful. This is when it ended, though. We've been hanging out for about a month. And then I said, we saw this bird. And he said it was the official bird of Bermuda. It's called the Bermuda long tail. And it has this really interesting long tail. And I said, I'm always fascinated by how animals evolved, right? Like giraffes being the most obvious, right? Like they needed to be able to eat the vegetation at the top. So they grew necks over a gazillion years. So I said, it's curious. I wonder why that bird has that tail. And he said, I don't know. I don't believe in that. I was like, you don't believe in what? He said, I don't believe in evolution. I was like, well, what do you believe? And he said, creationism. And I was like, okay, I think I gotta get back to the ship.
Sex was great. Yes, gotta go to the ship.
Exactly. Awesome blowjob. Thank you so much. But, and he said, don't you think it's possible? I said, let me ask you a question. See that bush over there? Do you think a leprechaun's gonna jump out with a pot of gold? No. That's about as much as I think it's likely that creationism is the way in which the world was formed.
And then you popped out, though. So you are kind of like his little leprechaun.
I was sans pot of gold, though. I did not have a pot of gold. But in general,
but a golden tan. You look gorgeous.
I am very tan. Thank you, my dear. I am very tan. I mean, it's such a sweet gig. We work on a Sunday while we're still at sea. We get to Bermuda, and then we have the whole time in Bermuda to do absolutely nothing. And then we have a sea day to do nothing. And then on the last night of the cruise before we get back to Boston, we do two improv shows. So, I mean, we work 6 hours a week.
Yeah.
So it's a sweet job, and I loved my cast. And I met some really cool people on the ship. As a matter of fact, if anybody goes to my Facebook page, they'll see the beautiful boy that I he's a straight boy, but he's a singer on the ship, and he's so dreamy. And he sounds like if Robin Thicke and Justin Timberlake had a baby. In fact, I have some of his music. I should give it to you. So he's just delightful. He's such a sweet, good boy, and just so friggin' cute. He'll be a star.
Yeah.
He has that quality, you know. He's like just very natural and very darling, and really sings like a dream.
What were your now? This was a little less like when you were doing the Mediterranean and you were in all these different countries. Did you have a favorite place that you kind of felt like you got to know, or you know, what was that experience like for you this time?
Well. When the first half of the contract, when we were going to Mexico, you know, New Orleans to Mexico, I really fell in love with Cozumel. Really loved it. Did some really cool excursions, snorkeling and, you know, swimming with dolphins. And there was this awesome beach bar where, like, you could either jump off the rocks, swim in the ocean, swim in the pool, cocktails, restaurant, like, right on the beach. It was fabulous. Girl on the show, Sarah, and I would get massages every week. We went to Cozumel because they were, like, $30 for an hour-long unbelievable massage, and no, boys, it wasn't a happy ending. It was a sweet little Mexican lady, and she was just darling. Anyway, so I left Cozumel, and then the rest of the time we were Boston to Bermuda, so it was the same place, but we found this gorgeous beach called Nine Beaches, which is like a resort, but they were really cool with letting people from the ships just come and hang out for the day, and it was this gorgeous little, like, private beach with a restaurant right on the beach, and like...
In Cozumel?
No, this was actually in Bermuda. This is after Bermuda. I mean, I loved going to Mexico, but like Guatemala, I'm sure it's a lovely country, but it's where the ship docks is a little scary. Like once you, unless you're like taking an official excursion and you're sort of being escorted, wandering around is probably not recommended.
Did you spend any time in New Orleans?
Just on Sundays. We would spend the day on Sunday. We would get there early in the morning, and then we wouldn't have to be back on the ship till like 6 at night or something like that. And so we would wander around New Orleans, and you know, it's funny. I loved the city, and I loved wandering around, and I loved going to the shops and restaurants and cafes and this cool gay neighborhood and all that stuff. But Sunday morning in New Orleans smells like the waste of Saturday night.
Yeah, that would. That's like, yeah. I mean, I can imagine that that is an interesting, desolate, weird, freaky morning to be in New Orleans week after week that you happen to be there.
And yeah, and the streets are incredibly filled with garbage, and you know, because they haven't really finished cleaning up yet. Now they've put all the stuff in the garbage, but they haven't been cleaned away yet. So it's pretty dirty. But I mean, it was fabulous, and I'd love to go back and spend like a week there. You know, I have friends who live there, which is so I'd like to go back and actually like spend some time there, because I thought it was really beautiful.
You need to be there on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Exactly. Right, when it's like, right. Or even just like any night of the week where there's just like nighttime sitting outside having coffee. But we had some great food, and I really loved it. I mean, I do love the travel part of this gig. It's just that the only difficult part is living on a ship. At first, it's great, right? Because your meals are cooked, your bed is made, you know, there's a gym, there's, you know, just so much, just cheap booze and cheap cigarettes and cheap men. No. Actually, it was a pretty straight crew, actually. But eventually, living on a ship starts to get to you. I mean, every week you get new people, and when school let out, suddenly we got lots of kids. Now, I think kids are cute, and if I were 7, I'd run around screaming and yelling and running up and down and stepping on people, too. But as a parent, it's kind of your job to stop your kid from fucking running around. It became a joke, like, my cast called me Uncle Mitchell. And because literally, like, we'd be doing something, the kids would be just running through the restaurants. And I'd be yelling, like, hey, what's with the running? No running! Where are you running off to? And parents would get embarrassed, but there's just no need to run. It made me crazy. Yeah. So eventually cranky Uncle Mitchell was, yeah. I needed to get off the ship.
Yeah.
I love it. I can't wait and hope to do it again. There's a possibility of maybe doing a ship in Hawaii. Mm. Right? Magic.
I am coming on that one and writing it off.
You have to come, right? Because we'll spend the whole time blogging. We can make the whole thing about
podcast and blog.
All
and
over.
Photos. Yeah.
Actually, one of the best things was that my sister took a week and came on a cruise. Which was really awesome. She hadn't had a real proper vacation in like 15 years and hasn't had a vacation at all without having to take my mother along and her son and all these people. I mean, obviously we love them, and especially my nephew, but it was nice for her to have a vacation where she had nothing to do. It was great too because we're so compatible. I'm not really a tourist, but I had, you know, figured out some stuff that we could do if she wanted. We could swim with dolphins. We could, you know, do all these things. And so I was like, Sandy, we have all these things we could do. What do you want to do? And she was like, I want to get to the closest beach. I want to sit there till I turn brown. And then I want to get back in the ship and start eating and drinking. And I was like, so you don't need to do any like crazy special, like I need to see all of Bermuda in 3 days. And she didn't care. She was like, there was these sort of gorgeous beaches that you can take a ferry to or a bus. And she was like, how long does that take? I'm like, about 45 minutes by the time you get there, walk down the hill. She's like, is there a place we can be in 5 minutes? I'm like, yes. So it was perfect.
So tell me about, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dash because I just want to catch up with you. And okay. I know all of our listeners do too. So, and you and I've really not caught up. You just kind of got in town last night. So we have tons of news today. Also, Richard Knight Jr., who had a birthday last week, he is bringing us his review of Hump Day, the film that everyone's talking about. Can straight guys make a porno together?
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. And also, we're telling you what's going on in the theater scene. And Mitchell's going to be on our next show, too. So we don't have to do all the catching up now. But man, there is a show in town in our next show. I can't wait to talk to you about. But we'll be back. We got to catch up with Mitchell.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The San Francisco Zoo will not be the same. Popular male penguins Harry and Pepper have broken up, and a female is to blame. Harry and Pepper had been together since 2003, but a female, Linda, befriended Harry earlier this year, causing Pepper to become violent. Pepper is now by himself, and Harry and Linda were able to successfully nest.
Protect Marriage Washington leaders claim to be closing in on the 125,000 signatures needed for a ballot initiative that would oppose the state's domestic partnership laws. Larry Stickney, president of the Washington Values Alliance, which runs Protect Marriage, said that 75,000 is their best estimate, but we think we're closing in on 100,000 now. The deadline for the group is July 25th.
In New York City, 19-year-old Drayton Mikaj has been arrested and charged with committing three anti-gay attacks in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Police say that Mikaj was part of a group of men who robbed Joe Holiday, 36, on June 28th. Mikaj also allegedly attacked and robbed two 19-year-old men on May 31st.
Gay rights activists claimed two major victories at the recent Episcopal Church Convention in Anaheim, California. First, the church voted to open the door to ordaining openly gay bishops. Moreover, the bishops approved developing ceremonies for blessing same-sex marriages and gave the green light to bishops who were already doing so. The Episcopal Church would be the second mainstream Protestant denomination to recognize same-sex marriage after the United Church of Christ.
A man's arrest for public intoxication reportedly spurred the June 28th raid of the Fort Worth, Texas bar known as the Rainbow Lounge. Video from a police cruiser showed the man being arrested after officers saw him leave the bar on June 26th. 2 days later, police and Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission agents returned to the lounge and raided it.
In New Jersey, a trans woman apparently died during a voodoo ritual. Authorities are investigating how Lucille Hamilton, a 21-year-old originally from Arkansas, died in what is being called a voodoo cleansing ritual. Hamilton hired voodoo high priest Hugen Hector to perform a ritual known as La Tet, which involves the cleansing, fortifying, and baptism of one's head.
In world news, the latest figures from the Metropolitan Police show a 13.5% rise in anti-gay hate crimes reported in London. From June 2008 to the end of last month, 1,123 incidents were reported. The previous year, there were 989 such reports. Some say the rise could be due to more people being proactive in reporting incidents to the police.
Same-sex marriage is getting increased support in Australia. 60% of those questioned favor same-sex marriage, compared with 57% just 2 years ago.
In Pakistan, the Supreme Court in Islamabad has ruled in favor of equal protection and support for trans individuals, stating that financial support must be given to trans persons through Bait-ul-Mal, a worldwide relief and development group, or income support programs. Moreover, the Interior Ministry has been directed to provide police protection to trans people in criminal matters.
And in entertainment news, the Emmy nominations have been announced. Damages, Mad Men, Big Love, Loss, Dexter, House, and Breaking Bad are the best drama nominees, while How I Met Your Mother, Weeds, Flight of the Conchords, Entourage, 30 Rock, The Office, and Family Guy receive best comedy nods. Grey Gardens and Coco Chanel are among the nominees for Best TV Movie. The 61st Annual Primetime Emmy Awards, to be hosted by out actor Neil Patrick Harris, will air Sunday, September 20th on CBS.
Sacha Baron Cohen's movie, Bruno, led the movie pack with a take of $30.4 million in its opening weekend. However, the movie, which is a faux documentary about the adventures of a gay Austrian fashion reporter, is suffering from mixed reviews and bad word of mouth, which means the movie may struggle to reach the $128.5 million grossed by Cohen's previous film, Borat. Internationally, the Ukraine has banned the film because of its scenes involving nudity and homosexual sex.
Apparently, Kristen Stewart of Twilight will be making out with Dakota Fanning in the movie The Runaways, in which Stewart will portray lesbian rocker Joan Jett. Actually, Stewart, age 19, will get intimate with Fanning, Alessandra Torresani, and Stella Mauve. Stewart and Fanning became friends while filming the Twilight sequel New Moon earlier this year.
On the daytime soap opera The Young and the Restless, the character of Philip Chancellor III has returned after supposedly dying in a car accident, explaining that he left his former life because he is gay. Adding a twist to the development is that openly gay actor slash artist Tom Beards portrays Chancellor just as he did those many years ago. The show now has two out actors, including Clementine Ford, who plays Mac. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Mumblecore goes gay is the shorthand description that a lot of reviewers are using to describe Hump Day. The indie slacker comedy from writer-director Lynn Shelton, in which two straight dudes contemplate boning each other for the sake of an amateur porn contest. Though the film certainly lies within the comfy confines of the genre, it's a low-budget relationship movie utilizing improvised scripts and non-professional actors. The film's tagline, "It's Beyond Gay," is a more apt description of his good-natured comedy, because it's essentially a movie about two friends who have emotionally grown in different ways. The gay stuff is just an excuse for two guys to examine how their lives have changed. What we actually have in Hump Day is the male mumblecore variation on the Banger Sisters. The performance of the cast more than make up for the quote-unquote outrageous but relatively unexplored idea at the center of the film, however. Though there's a lot of talk about the two dudes, the word is used at least 50 times in the movie, boning each other on film, the two best friends never seem to consider the much more provocative idea of the shared intimacy involved in lovemaking, as opposed to the strictly physical act, and they take no cues from a lesbian couple who cuddle and kiss without pretense in front of them when the idea is first suggested. When the two friends finally meet up uncomfortably in a nondescript motel room at the climax, the movie, which has begun with such an attention-grabbing premise, hasn't added up to much. I found it interesting and not surprising that this potentially provocative idea was advanced by female writer-director and wondered, how would a straight male director have approached this material? Or would two straight women characters have such hesitations if the situation reversed? More interesting still, would the idea of a gay man and a lesbian boning each other fall into the realm of a titillating art project? Oh, wait, that movie was made in 1978 with Meg Foster and Perry King. It's called A Different Story, and ultimately, it's just as phony baloney, though not nearly as likable and entertaining as Hump Day manages to be. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Eight times a week, another 2,000 Chicagoans experience the musical phenomenon that is Jersey Boys. When this supercharged sensation first arrived, the Tribune proclaimed, "Jersey Boys rock Chicago." And it has. Over 500,000 people have thrilled to the smash hit blockbuster about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I love you, baby. Every night at the Bank of America Theater, a new audience goes wild for the story of four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. So the only question left is, what are you waiting for? Discover what everyone's cheering about and take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music with Jersey Boys. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 20th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Jazz Dance World Festival 2009 comes to the Harris Theater in Millennium Park for four nights only this week, July 22nd through the 25th. Featuring 15 American and international dance companies, including host company Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago. The Chicago Sun-Times calls Jazz Dance World Festival fiery and breathtaking. For tickets, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
The next installment of About Face Theater Summer Camp 2009, a summer cabaret series, continues with The Homo Show, hosted by celebrity rapper slash crafter Leslie Hall, featuring an all-star cast of local queer performers, plus local DJ legends Reaganomics, of formerly known as, and Stinky Pinky of Think Pink Radio. One show only, Monday, July 27th at Subterranean, 8 p.m., For more on The Homo Show, visit aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
See the sun, how it's high. It knows I cannot compare to your unearthly light. And the moon bows at your feet.
So, Mitchell, I want to know, you know, life keeps happening while you're on the ship.
Life keeps happening every day. That's my life.
And I know that you have a set show, and then you, in the past times, you had opportunity for some improv moments, obviously keeping it not very blue, probably pretty PG with this boat.
It's different. It was different on the ship, actually. We would do two shows in the big theater, which we never did in my last contract. We always worked in the cabaret space. So there's this huge theater. You know, it seats like 800 to 1,000 people. And so, you know, that we do two shows so that the whole ship can come see it, you know, the passengers. So on Sunday nights, we would do two 45-minute, 50-minute shows in the theater, and they were mostly sketch, you know, archival sketch material from Second City. I got to sing a little solo song, which was really fun. And then there was some musical improv. And then, so within that, then there were three improv scenes that were structured within the set. And but then on Thursday night at the end of the cruise, we would do two sets in the cabaret space that were completely improvised, and each week a different cast member would decide what we were playing, so it would switch around. And then we actually would do a blue show at 11:15. We would do an adult show and announce that, you know, it's 18 or older, and it got pretty raunchy. It's funny because we can't really drop an F-bomb, and we can't really, like, say the C-word or something like that, but they want us to be push the envelope, you know, because it's the quote adult show, right? So they want us to get crazy. Now what happens, unfortunately, is that a bunch of drunk 22-year-old boys come and they yell the same words every week as if they're the first person to yell it. Let's see, the list includes dildo, 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 anal beads, dildo, gynecologist, proctologist, and dildo. Every week. I mean, without fail.
That's what I would yell. I would yell dildo.
Yeah, but you do it and be cute. They do it, and they're not doing it for the show. They're not doing it so that we have a suggestion to then make them laugh. They're doing it because, dude, I just yelled dildo in public. Do you know what I'm saying? We got those dudes to say dildo. So it was more fun when they, you know, yell random things like Neosporin or some random thing, and then we'll make it dirty, right? So it was really fun. I am... like always, it's old ladies and teenage boys who love me. And so, like, I during the improv scenes,
I guess I must be a teenage boy. That's the category in which I fall into.
Kind of, a little bit. That's just my demographic for some weird reason, like, audience-wise. And so, like, I never shy away from, like, creating gay improv scenes. Like, and to the credit of the boys in my cast, if I enter into a scene and I say, honey, what do you want on your eggs, you know, these boys would go right into it without hesitating at all and never try to, like, they're good boys, straight boys. They never try to, like, then sort of, like, get weird and assert their, quote, masculinity. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that bullshit. So sweet. So I would queer it up all the time. Not necessarily queen out, but just say very gay things. And thinking that I was going to sort of, like, freak out these boys. And yet, you know, it served to make them love me. And then after the show, they want to buy me drinks. And they're like, dude, you're so funny, dude. Like, first of all, I'm old enough to be your father. I'm not a dude. I'm so far from a dude. Anyway, it was funny, but it was fun to have that chance because on my last contract, we never did an adult show. So it was fun, but sometimes it would start off so raunchy that there was sort of nowhere to go. You know, like if the first suggestion you get is anal beads, where do you go from there?
Well,
I guess there are, because we would do these like improvised rap battles and improvised like stand-up comedy where like we'd do some stupid joke. Like the joke structure was like, I like my men or women, whatever you chose. Like I like my blank, and we'd get a suggestion, and then you fill in the punchline to that, you know. And so if they whatever they yell out, the best joke was my friend Eileen's. I'm stealing your joke, Eileen, but I'm giving you credit. Eileen Monteleone, she's brilliant. We asked for some, maybe nobody else will find it funny. We asked for a suggestion of something you'd find in your kid's room, and somebody yelled out Legos. So I said something like, I like my men like I like my Legos multicolored and stacked on top of me. And she said, she totally topped it. She said, I like my men like I like my Legos ages 3 and up. Isn't that a good joke?
That's funny.
Made me laugh.
Oh, that's funny. So I have two words for you because this was some big news that happened while you're, I guess so much stuff happened, but I guess the latest big news, Farrah and Michael.
Oh.
How did you hear about both that day? Where were you? And what was kind of the ship's response? You know, was everybody on the ship playing Michael Jackson, or were people talking about Farrah?
It was pretty extraordinary. The ship was like the rest of the world in which everyone forgot Farrah. But Farrah had died. And I was really sad, like everybody in our generation or my generation. She was so much an icon of our generation, you know. She was the 70s, you know. And so it was really sad. And then I was having dinner about an hour before my show on Thursday night, the day he died. And I was watching CNN, and they said that Michael Jackson was in the hospital and he wasn't breathing. And I thought, oh, some publicity stunt because he wants to get out of that concert or something. And, you know, because he's always in the news that something's wrong and he's wearing a mask.
But you knew he was doing a concert.
I did. I knew he was doing those concerts in London. And then literally 20 minutes before I went on to do this comedy show, I found out Michael Jackson died. And I was, I mean, I know it's goofy because I don't know the man. I was devastated. I literally had to, like, go in my room, cry for 20 minutes, and then go upstairs and do a comedy show. It's just, talk about somebody, I mean, just talk about a representation of my childhood. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, like, the Jackson 5 cartoon. You know what I mean? I'm not that much younger than Michael Jackson. So he was a kid, I was a kid. He was a teenager, I was a teenager. He was a young man, I was a young man. And it was really sad. Here's the really interesting thing. Remember last time we talked, I was in Boston?
Yeah.
And I was sitting at a cafe?
Yeah.
Well, I would go to that cafe every Friday. They were awesome. I could go get a cup of coffee, sit there all day, get free Wi-Fi. It was awesome. And they always played really cool music, like classic 70s stuff. And so they would always play like Fleetwood Mac or Steve Miller, but like classic rock. Anyway, so I was there one day, the Friday before Michael Jackson died. And the music sucked. I don't know who it was. It was something I hated. And I said to the cute gay guy behind the counter, I was like, clearly you did not pick the music today. He's like, no, and I hate it. Can I tell them you hate it and I'll change it? I said, yeah, tell them a customer hates it. So guess what he put on?
Thriller, Off the Wall.
He put on Michael Jackson's greatest hits, like greatest all hits. All the number one songs. So this was a week before he died. So the entire cafe started talking about Michael Jackson. This was a week before he died. So everybody was like, the song would come on, like Wanna Be Starting Something or Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. And people, just strangers. I was having conversations with strangers about like, oh my God, I remember when I first heard the song, I bought Thriller, blah, blah, blah. So it was this amazing day of talking about Michael Jackson. A week later, that Thursday night, he dies. So I'm getting off the ship on Friday again to go to Boston. And I'm going to go right to that cafe because I want to talk to the people that I saw last week and say, can you believe this happened, right? And I've been to this cafe every time we were in Boston, every single time on Newbury Street. I get there that next Friday, the day after Michael Jackson dies, and not only is Michael Jackson gone, but so is the cafe. Completely gone. Closed, empty, empty. In a week, it was completely emptied out. It was an empty storefront. Gone. It was the creepiest thing.
That is the weirdest Twilight Zone moment.
It was so weird, and I sort of got a little weepy, because, and I'm sure it was really sort of, I don't know what I was crying about, but it was this weird, like, what? How could, it's everything's gone. Isn't that weird? Yeah. But it was really interesting, because people did want to talk about it on the ship, and fucking douchebags yelling, like, literally the night he died, or the couple of nights after he died, yelling out his name as suggestions in an improv, and we were just like, you know what, too soon. Actually, I wrote on my Facebook page, like, can we all just put on headphones, listen to Man in the Mirror, recognize the genius, and then talk about the weird stuff later? Like, can we just recognize how brilliant he was?
Yeah. I mean, I was really, I mean, and I've talked about this, you know, quite a bit. Steven and I talked about it. You know, Steven was not a big devotee. I was a diehard Michael Jackson fan. Still yeah. Am. And still am. And, you know, my brother was, and so that was my first phone call. Like, Kelly texted me, you know, Michael Jackson died. I don't think I'll ever erase that text. If somehow, I guess when I get a new phone, it'll go away. But you know, it was just so shocking. And you said it exactly like I felt, you know, I really felt like it was just the death of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that phrase of like, you know, when I was a child, when I was a man, I had to put away childish things. It felt like all of a sudden, not that I'm a man, but that I had to just like grow up. Like the person who's just a tiny bit older than me is dead. And it's a soundtrack for my life. And I remember, I mean, I'm not the only one, but like, I remember where I was with each one of these songs. And, you know, not much time has passed and, you know, it's already getting ugly again. You know, just the, I don't know, even some of the comedians or whatever. And I'm sure it will unfold however it will unfold.
I'm not a big fan of like, when anybody passes away, I'm not a big fan of the instant, incredibly inappropriate jokes. I'm not a fan of them. You know, they're instant and I get it. People need to sort of like blow steam, but they don't make me laugh. And they seem, and people try to tell me Michael Jackson jokes, you know, because they see the show. You know, on the ship, we're not anonymous. After we do our show on a Sunday, we're, you know, everybody on the ship has seen us, and so they want to talk to us. And they tried to tell me, like, these hostile Michael Jackson jokes, and it's my job to be polite, so I would laugh, and, oh, well, that's so sad. But really, I want to be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
The man's dead.
Yeah.
The man's dead. The most famous man in the world is dead. It was an interesting 1-2 punch with Farrah and Michael, you know, especially when you're from 70s. You know, like you said, like I can remember roller skating backwards every Friday night to Rock With You.
That was my song. Like that was my album. That was the first album I ever bought.
Well, I want everyone to go and put their headphones on and listen to it. It has not dated. It's still as awesome and funky and fresh a song. Not funky fresh, but fresh as in like it sounds like it could have been released this week. That's how good that song is. It has never dated itself.
Yeah.
So much of his music is like that. It's never dated itself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why there's so many generations. And I mean, you were in other countries. So what did you hear and sense in other countries about people with him? And did you sense anything with Farrah Fawcett? Or is that a very American, iconic thing? And was Michael Jackson the thing you sensed?
Interesting. Because we were in Boston and Bermuda when it all happened. And with Farrah, I never heard her mentioned in Bermuda, but everybody in Bermuda was talking about Michael Jackson. I mean, he's just as popular everywhere as he is here. Farrah, I didn't hear mentioned. Who else passed away that week? There was somebody else who passed away. Ed McMahon, never heard him mentioned. One night, somebody made a terrible joke about David Carradine, which it was funny, but, you know, inappropriate. So mostly it was about Michael. I mean, everybody has a thing about Michael. Cab drivers, bus drivers. Literally, like, whoever we ran into, people behind the counter at cafes, waiters at restaurants, everybody was talking about it. Everybody. It was, I thought it was sort of beautiful in a way, you know? So it was very rare events that the world gets united. You know, when Diana passed, that was one. You know, like, these moments when the entire world is sort of doing the same thing or talking about the same thing. It's extraordinary, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the cynicism about it. I guess I get it. There's a lot of news that's more important than Michael Jackson's passing. But when something captures the world's attention, and although it may not seem like the most important news in the world, there's something interesting going on.
Well, to me, you know, what it speaks to is it speaks to the power of the artist. And I think that, you know, that is a power that got distorted, I think, we'll discover with the whole drugs, when all the toxicology comes out and the autopsy, and, you know, and also just with the celebrity, the strange, you know, power of one's life and the mystique of one and how that emanates and how that creates isolation and all of that. But really the power, the universal power of art to transform us, you know, is what I see through him and connect us in a way that I don't know. You know, there's not going to be a politician that's going to do that because it will only matter to that country.
There's an interesting story about Michael Jackson. You know, for years, I was a head counselor at a circus camp, right? So we have this huge, gorgeous, old-fashioned circus tent, which I actually got to see in Wellesley, Mass. This past weekend, which was magical. Shout out to the Smirkos. Anyway, so for, you know, 11 weeks, I'd have these kids. And so a couple of times during the summer, I'd plan like a dance party for the kids in the tent, you know, so they could feel like they're having like crazy wild times. But I would always get them to give me their iTunes list, right? So I could make to get a playlist that would only run for certain times so I could go to bed, and also to make sure that there was no like dirty lyrics for the kids, little kids and stuff. So all of these kids, you have to remember, none of them were born before Michael Jackson was considered a freak. These were all kids born after he had freaked out his face and was under suspicion for terrible things and all these. And every single one of these kids, to a person, would have at least one or two Michael Jackson songs on their playlist to give me. And these kids don't even know, weren't even alive when Michael was like Off the Wall or Thriller, when they literally were born after he was like the Elephant Man's Bones guy. And yet they still loved him. Yeah. Loved him. Every single kid.
Why do you think, and I'll ask you because he is your surrogate straight boyfriend, why do you think that Justin Timberlake wasn't singing at the memorial? And do you have any inside scoop about, is he going to be doing something at the memorial?
I don't know. I actually haven't heard. I thought it was odd that he wasn't there. I thought it was odd that his whole group, I thought it would be an interesting time for like NSYNC to have a reunion and sing, because they toured with him, you know. They didn't tour with him. They did that other special with him. I thought that was weird. But here's a cool thing. This is a total sidebar. Remember last year on the ESPN Awards, he did that musical number that my friend Rachel wrote?
Right.
Well, she got nominated for an Emmy for it.
Wow. Congratulations, Rachel.
Isn't that amazing? Rachel Hamilton. And I mean, there were other writers. My friend Alex Bays as well, who writes the Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. He's the head writer of Weekend Update. But the two of them wrote this amazing, you should YouTube, I think I've talked about it before, you should YouTube I Love Sports by Justin Timberlake. It's brilliant. And my friend Rachel wrote it. And she got an Emmy nomination, which she didn't even know there was such a thing. So it's not like she was waiting to say, like, maybe I'll get an Emmy now. It was literally a gig she did. She loved it. She loved Justin. She thinks he's amazing. She had a blast. They, you know, got to go out to L.A. and do it. And then it was done. And then now she has an Emmy nomination.
So what do you think about the Saturday Night Live gals having some Emmy nominations this year? You know that, right?
I think it's about time, really. I mean, you know, every week. Remember the show? People, I say this to people and they look at me like I'm an idiot. That show really is live. I think that people think that's just a word that it used to be live and that they just kept the name because it's the brand. It is a live show. And every week these people do live sketch comedy. Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it's brilliant. But like, those are some pretty funny, awesome people just come up with new stuff every week. You know, it's pretty amazing. And I love Kristen Wiig. I think she's so brilliant.
Yeah.
I think she's brilliant. I'm trying to convince Rachel to take me as her date to the Emmys. And
you're so podcasting from the Emmys, that's if what you're I'm able saying. And Twittering.
That's what I'm saying. Remember, because I told you she was Tina Fey's guest at the Oscars. So I have this great picture on my computer of the two of them getting ready in the hotel room, telling me what designer they were wearing. I want that experience. I want to go to the Emmys. I'm just putting it out there.
I want you to put it out there. I'm putting it out there too. Just make that happen, Rachel, okay? Because I really need our ratings to go through the roof, and they'll go through the roof. Mitchell Fain is back. He'll be back for our next show. And also, I'm going to be telling you about a brand new show that's also live, Under the Big Top, all things Mitchell loves, with acrobatics and so many horses doing amazing things. You will be absolutely blown away. It's jaw-dropping. It's beautiful. It's called Cavalia, and it's in Chicago. And I am going to have one of the writers and performers, gay guy, right in the middle of it all. Love that, in the big old white top tent. And his name's Jesse Cooper, and he'll be on the show next this week. And we're going to go to Harry Potter, which I'm hoping to hear Richard Knight Jr.'s review, because I got to go see it. So, Mitchell, it's good to have you back, and we will talk with you again on our next show.
I'm so glad to be back. I can't tell you. I love Chicago. I love it.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
No, baby. No, baby. No, 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 baby.